Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hey, it's Aaron Norris. Thank you for joining us. And today we've got Michael Quarles again. This is the second show. If you missed last week, we talked a lot of really great stuff about direct mail and lists and target marketing. And this week we're going to get even into some more detail. Michael Quarles is a real estate investor that started his investing career as a teenager constructing a duplex and since then has gone on he's been involved in over 1,000 real estate deals. Michael is a general builder contractor as well as a mortgage broker, which you don't use very often, you said, correct?
But I'm not for, you can't hire me.
Okay, that's my question. He launched yellowletters.com back in 2005. And as we learned last show, he's one of the nation's leading direct marketing services, specifically targeted for real estate investors. He also runs Buy, Sell, Fix Flip Academy, and you'll find him at michaelquarles.com. Thank you for agreeing to come on for a second show, because last show was great, and I'm looking forward to digging deeper on some design stuff today.
It's so cool to be here. I feel like I'm a celebrity.
Well, good. Last time we talked a lot about sort of making a great list and cluster marketing, which is so smart. Let's talk a little bit about design, because cluster marketing is very much that. You're sending, you know, how many pieces do you typically send before you decide, okay, we're going to turn it off? They're clearly not interested, and hopefully we're in a drawer somewhere, but enough is enough.
Is that question, how many pieces do I send if I'm using myself as a guinea pig?
Sure.
Besides going, that was really a bad idea and I'm not telling anybody. I'll mail about 20,000 pieces out before I learn that I didn't want to learn it.
But it's okay.
Because I think one of the dilemmas that a lot of people put themselves in, or issues they put themselves in, is they try to reinvent something. Let those of us that are doing it professionally and reinvent it or invent it, and instead of you changing it up, just use what works. Because
right. My
20,000, although I hate spending the money and sending out 20,000 pieces that may have only gotten a 0.75% response rate and I was hoping for a 6, I'd rather me do it than you do it as a new investor, because your money is more important to you than my money is to me. And I know they're equal money or equal dollars, but let me test. And then when I see it works, I'll tell you about it, rather than you trying to figure it out on your own. And if you have an idea and you want an opinion about it, just be open to the answer, because I'll be glad to give you my opinion, but let us test.
Now, you said 6% return rate. That blows my mind, because I think a lot of investors nowadays are getting really pretty excited if they hit the 1%. And I think when they say 1%, it's they got a phone call. Whether or not they close the deal, that's another conversation. But 6%, that sounds really high. So when you say return rate, is that you get a phone call or is that a close?
No, that's a phone call.
Okay.
And now keep in mind, and I don't want to burst your bubble, but you live in the high rent district, okay, in comparison to me. Like if I took my house and I moved it down to where you guys are,
yeah. It'd
be worth like $7 million.
Hey, I'm in Riverside, buddy. No.
Well,
we're not coastal, but...
but if you get a percent response rate, that's like me getting a 5% response rate.
Okay.
Because it's about dollars at the end of the day. But most people equate it to the, you know, call volume percentage. Well, no. Let's look at, you know, we have lead generation, lead capture, lead fulfillment. Let's look at the percentage of fulfillment. That's the important part. And in your market, if I bought a house worth $500,000 and I bought it at 60 cents on the dollar, then I know what my discount is off of that. Well, if I bought in my market a $100,000 house at 60%, well, I have to buy a lot more houses to have the same dollar at the end of the day. So you really have to look at what the markets do, or what the difference is in the market.
And you know what? We didn't cover that the last show. Please share. Where are you based out of?
Well, I'm in Bakersfield, California. One of the things that, and it's all through systemization, one of the things we've learned over the last 12 months or so, actually a little longer than that, is that we can do this virtually. So I can go into a market. Last year we talked about that I run an algorithm on a market. So I can go into a market that's across country. Let's take North Carolina as an example. I can go into North Carolina, run an algorithm on it, determine if I want it to, in fact, market into that market. When I do, then define what part of the market, and I can do all of this virtually. So I no longer have to knock on a door or meet a seller. I can do everything via You know, we used to say FedEx and fax. Now it's like DocuSign or services like that and the internet. So we can buy with never meeting our prospect. And our prospect actually likes it. If you think about the person who's in urgent mode, they don't have time to see us. And besides that, some of our prospects, a majority of our prospects, don't want to meet us, not because they don't want to say hello to us, but because they physically can't meet us. You know, in your city, if you had to drive across town, that could take you a couple hours. Well, if you're in Texas and you have a house in your city, well, you're not going to meet me anyway. So if my prospect can't meet me and doesn't want to meet me, or it's an inconvenience for them to meet me, and they're in the more of an urgent mode than that meet and greet that's old school, why not do it virtually? Because, and we've been trained through the internet and some of the service providers that are there doing great things. We've trained the consumer to have it be okay to buy something, interact with someone with never shaking their hand. We're in the old school way of buying houses. We always had to do the meet and greet. We don't have to anymore.
Well, let's talk about that, because you're reaching out to them via direct mail, and that's a pretty big switch, because I know we'll get there eventually, sort of cross-promoting channels, but to take them from direct mail to being okay with not ever meeting you, that's a big change.
Well, keep in mind, our prospects are urgent procrastinator. So they're in urgent mode, so they're like Horshack, for all of us that know who he is, and they need that broken arm fixed.
Okay.
So they need that. They want to be that. I mean, that's their life, unfortunately. And now, I'm not saying procrastination is any class of individuals, because I've bought houses from Superior Court judges and I've bought houses from people that they've sent to prison. And so everybody qualifies across the gamut.
Sure.
Of being a procrastinator. So it's just a mentality type that's waited too long or to use traditional means of selling a house, or they don't want to use traditional means. And what we have found is, as long as they're in the urgent mode and they're motivated, they don't want to meet us. They don't need to meet us. It's not the gooey part of real estate that they want. Where if they list with a real estate professional, they're interviewing a real estate professional. They're interviewing that person to list their house. They want some of that romance that goes along with that relationship building process. Our seller doesn't want that. They just want our cash.
Right. And I know we're going to run out of time, so I'm gonna blow through some of these questions, and we'll just keep this light, the design side, because then I do want to get into systems a little bit, and then cross-promotion, because I think that's some more of the questions that came from last year that I'd like to cover. So a great mail piece, you'd already talked about cluster marketing. When you do a mailer, how many different pieces do you typically send out to the same person?
We're gonna do a six-piece rotation. So the first piece is a small text postcard. And text meaning that it's written on, not visual like a picture. So those are called pictorials. And then in the agent business, they use a lot of pictorials. Or you'll see like some national brands use pictorials because that's how you brand. We're not in the branding business. We want to solve your urgent need right now. So a text postcard that speaks to the prospect. It's the small one, and
okay.
It's orange. In today's marketplace, the primary color is orange, except for twice a year. Then twice a year, the primary color is pink. So orange and pink. It used to be yellow, but now it's orange, pink, and then yellow. Second piece is a yellow letter, and it's a real simple letter. I want to buy your house at this address. That's it. Because the font size of a handwritten message is so large, we can lose our audience. We want our message fast and sweet. Get it into their brain. Tell them how you can solve their problem, and that's it.
Okay.
Third piece is a large text postcard. Fourth piece is a professional letter, so it's typed, letterhead, signature, all that kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth piece, and it's working great, but it's not today urgent, solve your problem. So this is for the person that wants to be nurtured, and that's a greeting card of some sort, either a Mother's Day, a Christmas card, a New Year's card, something in it with a business card inserted, just to let them know when you need me, I'm here. The sixth piece is we call it a zip letter, and it's something that looks like a traffic ticket or a refund or something like that. You actually have to tear it apart to open it. It looks like a check coming in the mail, and that thing works great. So all six pieces working in a combination are really speaking to the different mind frames that we have out there. And color is important. Red's better than blue, except on life signatures. Black is better for typed. In a postcard setting, you use multiple colors of text. You want it to be text and handwritten. Your handwritten, you want to be in red. Your text, you want to be in black, but you want some green when you start talking about cash. And we could go on days about, you know, what things are supposed to touch. I mean, feel like, look like, smell like, kind of stuff. But the idea is to as fast as we can, we've got to get into the mind of the prospect.
Wait, I don't want to miss this. Did you say smell? Are you doing olfactory testing?
No, but, you know, I say smell only because that's, you know, I want to talk about interaction. I want the people, if we could, I would. I want them to be part of the presentation, because if I can get someone part of the presentation, mm-hmm. I win more.
Right.
I've influenced them greater. Even if they don't pick up the phone today to call me, they'll remember me because they had to tear me apart or over somebody that they didn't, you know, and, it's just true. So I don't, you know, other than just saying it's true, I could send a bunch of tests out to people and have them interact. But interaction's better.
No, that's great. I didn't think that there were six. I didn't remember that. And all of those make a lot of sense. And it makes me laugh. The orange and pink, you said that was the change. Why the change for the first one?
We went to orange and it was a test. It was, again, it was like, okay, I'm going to start testing, because the reason we used yellow for forever is because that was the Postal Service's color. So if you received a notice, like go pick up a package, or you have a certified letter, or whatever, it was on a yellow piece of, you know, paper. So
sure.
When your mind saw it, you would think important, urgent. So it was yellow for the longest time.
Got it.
Well, like anything else, you have to change, right?
Right.
Or change could be good. So we started testing colors. We tested blues and greens and whites. Yeah, white's the worst color. For marketing pieces. And then we tried orange, and the numbers just like blew up.
Interesting. I wonder.
It's great. And it's like a pumpkin orange, and it works well.
And any now, idea why that might be?
What I have learned in marketing is all I care about is it working.
Right. Of course.
At the end of the day, you know, psychoanalyzing why someone does something is for somebody else.
It works. Leave it alone. But, okay.
And that's, you know, on our last show, I was actually talking about that. You know, I wish people would just leave it alone and just let it work.
Instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. Yeah. I get it.
But pink works great because of it's a color that we can associate with, although a negative, a positive. It's a helping color. So when we have some of the cancer awareness cycles, we use a lot of pink. And when we really want to give that message, and when we can give that message, we should. Like as an example, the probably the world's most famous logo is Red Cross,
mm-hmm.
and so the color red means a lot. So there's a reasons behind that color when we market, a lot of positive reasons. And one of the biggest ones is that it's a caring color. And pink is that second caring color, and so we should use it. But pink all the time would lose its, position.
Agreed.
They would miss it.
Okay, well, let's move on to follow-up systems, because I think some people get overwhelmed. And the mailers that I get, they're really inconsistent, and I typically only get one. I've gotten a postcard, and I've gotten from my rentals, I've gotten the yellow letter, and then they stop. So let's talk about systems. I buy a list. I'm going to work that list for how long? And then these six mailers, how often do you send these mailers?
Yeah, I would send them every 30 days now.
Okay.
We can send them every 3 weeks.
So you've got a five to six month cycle. Okay.
5 to 6 month cycle. And then you're going to run another list.
Right.
Could have the same people on the list. So geographically, you'll probably stay the same.
Okay.
If you run an algorithm on an area, you change the area, but most likely you're going to stay the same. Some people will fall off because they sold to somebody else, or they refinanced out of their equity position. And then some people, because of an age factor or a length of ownership factor or an equity position, will come onto the list. And so some people will get that letter, you know, the 7th month, the 8th month, you know, those kind of thing. Here's what I know about someone. You don't notice it until you need it, which is the same reason when we buy a car, we didn't notice all of the other people that drove the same color car until we bought ours.
That's so true.
So we're not absorbing the message, which is why I say you can't brand in our business. Because it doesn't matter. We don't need you, so we're not thinking about you. And I don't want to wait to brand when someone starts thinking about me. I want them to call me. I want to solve their problem. So besides the color and the texture of the piece, the message is also important.
Right. And how do you manage that data from a list perspective? So we've got a 6-month cycle, and let's just say 2 months later, we're going to pull that new list. Is this an Excel? Is there a program that
can... It's an Excel. It's pretty simple. People try to reinvent how to store this list. Mm-hmm. Microsoft did it for us. You know, they have Excel, and you suppress it, you know, against the old list, so you're not buying the new list, and you just keep track of it.
Okay.
And I wish there was a really like complicated do it this way because this is the best and buy this gadget. The reality is we can overthink something that's really simple and just, you know, put it on a tickler file and, you know, the 15th of every month, send out a piece of mail and keep your list on an Excel spreadsheet.
Man, I really thought we were going to get into a conversation about customer relations management systems. And I thought,
that's not pre, that's not marketing of the prospect. That's post-marketing of the prospect. That's a big thing.
Oh, okay. I got
you. If you ask me, you know, what do I do with the list I'm mailing to? Well, you just mail to it every month and you keep track of it. And, you know, there are online service providers that you'll never lose the list because it's in the cloud.
Got it.
Short of, or more than that, you're just wasting money on a CRM system because you're not going to put, you know, 100,000 prospects into a CRM system and manage that.
No,
easily.
It gets really tricky. So you're saying maybe once somebody calls on a...
Oh, absolutely.
Got it. Okay.
At that point, the moment that phone rings or they text you or you get an internet response or a web response, you better have something. If you don't, you're kidding yourself. And there are a lot of service providers out there that I think are broken. And it took us a while to create one that I can use on a national basis. Now, keep in mind that 40% of our business comes from follow-up and follow-through. So for me, follow-up, I'm talking to the person when they call. I'm talking to them at 3, 5, and 7 if I haven't made them an offer. 3, 7, and 10 if I have made them an offer. If they don't accept or ask me to make an offer, I'm also speaking to them at day 15, day 30, day 60, and day 90. So that's just my voice outbound.
Wow.
At the same time, my script is grabbing when I'm speaking to them. One of the nice things about our marketplace is, especially buying virtual, what address can my purchase manager email you an offer to? Now, keep in mind, their sellers want offers, right? They want an offer. They're going to supply that email address, which they get 29 pieces of email from me over a 58-day period. If they text me in the beginning, they're going to get 4 additional texts coming back to them. So during a 90-day process, I'm speaking to them a lot.
Yeah, you sure are. And you've got people helping you monitor that and systems in place, I guess.
Yeah, and so you have to have a call service. And all of my stuff is all in-house. So we have a call center. Mm-hmm. I have what we call Alex stations and Ryan stations. And the reason they're called Alex and Ryan is that's a guy or girl name. And the person calling, it's easy for them to pronounce. We always want names that people understand and pronounce. And when we answer the phone, we're answering it Alex if it's a first time inbound call. And every operator can answer all their questions, go through the 16-page script. Everything's scripted. It goes to a CRM system that launches. And the moment that call's done, that Alex station then takes that recorded call. And this is a key component, I think, that a lot of investors don't do. We record everything. So when the caller calls, the first thing they hear is this call is being recorded for training purposes. Because we need to train ourselves. Even if we think that we're the best at what we do, we still need to listen back to ourselves for all of our weak words and our pauses and our inflections to make sure that we're saying the things that we need to say the way we need to say them to cause the highest percentage of lead fulfillment. So it's not lead generation. It's that lead fulfillment at the end of the day. And when an investor says, Mike, I've gotten all these calls, but I haven't got, you know, they haven't bought a house yet. Well, that's not about the call. It's about the person or the systems. And so, we have a pretty significant CRM system that does all the follow-up and follow-through.
That's amazing. And I think that's so incredible. And I don't think, I mean, a lot of our market is smaller real estate investors who maybe flip 5 to 10 a year. And we have several more that do more than that. But I think it's trying to think outside the box and show them that this is probably the next phase that they're going to have to get to manage that process efficiently. So we've only got about 3 minutes left, and I knew this was going to happen. So just real quick, can you talk a little bit about marketing crossover? So you've got direct mail. How important is that to have an online presence? Is the consumer...
I do pay-per-click.
Okay.
So I'll do a bucket load of direct mail. Okay. And the reason I like direct mail is because I know who my audience is. I also like pay-per-click done correctly. Just because someone says they sell pay-per-click or manage pay-per-click doesn't mean they understand investors. So we do a host of pay-per-click. We use about 1,400 keywords in four different groups. So we're using specific keywords. We're using non-specific keywords. Our ratio is $22 a lead, which is really good in the pay-per-click business. So it costs me $22 for someone to fill out a web form that says they want to sell their house. That's not including when they pick up the phone and call me. And I can't track that number because I don't want to use a disguised phone number with the pay-per-click services.
Right.
Because I want to use my 800 number. But $22 to get someone to call me. Now, here's the issue with pay-per-click. It works really well nationally. It doesn't work as well locally. And so we're fighting through testing a lot of different layers of local pay-per-click. But pay-per-click's awesome. Everybody ought to be doing it. And make sure that you have a website that doesn't teach people about selling a house. The only thing your website should do is have a way for them to contact you. You need a form and a phone number. Let somebody else educate your prospect on how you buy houses. You buy the house. And there is a difference in time frame between when someone decides, I'm going to sell my house now, and the time they actually do decide to sell their house. So they'll go on some websites that tell them everything under the sun about how to sell their house. And then at the last minute, they'll go to a site that says, just call this phone number or fill out this form.
That's so funny that you say that. And I'm sure that you've seen investors do this. They have a wholesale website and a before and after picture website all on the same site, confusing the visitor.
It's not a dating relationship. I'm not trying to get them to marry me. I want them to call me because their arm's broken. I want to be the emergency room, that flashing neon light that says, emergency, emergency, I will help you. And most investors try to be that other thing. Well, I understand nurturing from a marketing perspective.
Right.
But let's be a problem solver.
Sort of really the squeeze page approach online, which is smart. Okay.
And then you have your text platforms and your social media platforms, which I think done right could be good. Done wrong is a waste of time. And I think the arena that people should start introducing themselves to, and it'll be a little bit hard because this is a new arena for a lot of folks, is the text platform arena. As an example, if I can.
Sure.
I did a test for you, just for your audience to understand this arena and how it could work for them. Mm-hmm. If they text the word, I buy houses, all is one big word, so I buy houses, mm-hmm. to the number 313131, they'll receive an experience there that is, it's somewhat new. And we know that everybody, not everybody, my mother-in-law, who's 84 years old, and my uncle, who's 89, they do not have cell phones. Most everybody else has a cell phone with email or with text.
Yep.
We have to be cognizant of the fact that we can reach our prospect faster if we use tools to reach our prospect. And then you find a prospect that wants us to reach us or reach them by reaching out to us first. We have to take advantage of that contact they're asking for.
Will you cross promote web and text on a direct mail piece?
Well, it depends on it has to be a professional piece. So it can be a postcard or a professional letter. It can't be anything that looks like from mom and pop, because mom and pop wants to deal with mom and pop.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. All right, we are out of time. I knew that was going to happen, but Michael, thank you so much for joining us. And if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way they can reach you?
MichaelQuarles.com, and Quarles is Q-U-A-R-L-E-S, or yellowletters.com. Either way, glad to help.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This will be online later if you want to read or listen to the show.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.